I think I'd rather die in a nuclear war than go to Olean.
Penn State was in the Atlantic.
Tired. Mark Whipple was a bad coach at UMass. Wired. Charlie Molnar was a bad coach at UMass. Inspired. Kevin Morris was a bad coach at UMass.
Hey, everybody. Lots of struggles in men's basketball world. We apologize for not having done an episode on the men's team in a while. I've been toying with exactly how I want to break down the last several games. I also feel badly because the great Stu Ludicky on Twitter came on 2 weeks ago and cut a really fun A-10 preview prior to the UMass St. Louis game, which was, of course, the first game of the Atlantic 10 season. The team has since played 5 Atlantic 10 games, and I haven't got that episode up. I still think there's some interesting material in it, and we're going to get it up later this week. Sorry to Stu. I was going to cut a long intro to that, and instead I'm just going to cut one this week and do a separate men's basketball issue about episode about the recent disastrousness. But I wanted to, first and foremost, get UMass women's basketball coach Tori Verdi on the program, and we did that tonight, mere hours after UMass's men's team got absolutely smoked by GW in what was maybe the low point of the McCall era thus far. So we figured let's purposefully throw in the antidote and kind of get some good news out there before we get back to the frustration of the men's season. And so tonight's episode is a unique one, a special episode with women's basketball coach Tori Verdi. It was fun to do. The program, of course, brought to you by the great Five College Movers, stress-free moving in the Pioneer Valley and beyond. They do such a tremendous job, and I know that there was an administrator at UMass in ticketing this week who is moving on to a new gig. Used Five College Movers, as one would do. Anyone who has, you know, a modicum of reason to them would do that. So if you're looking to move, check out Five College Movers. Totally world-class moving, and friends of the UMass basketball program and this show. So with that being said, let's jump into the interview. Hey, Coach, how are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for coming on. Feel free to bounce at any moment. I know you have a game against Rhodey tomorrow, and that's in Kingston.
That is correct.
And how was it getting down there? Were you impacted by weather? Or are you guys all set?
No, we're good. You know, smooth, easy ride. So, you know, now just obviously primarily focused on tomorrow and, you know, what we got to get done. So, but I appreciate you guys taking time and doing this. You know, for me, it's really important whenever I could get, you know, my message out there and, you know, let people know exactly what we're doing. And, you know, I'm fighting for women's basketball and I'm fighting for, you know, the players, you know, in our program. And I want to make sure that everybody in the community, you know, knows, you know, what we're doing. You know, our players work extremely hard and I think they're doing an unbelievable job of representing, you know, the university the right way, both on the court, in the classroom, and in the community. So whenever I get the opportunity to, you know, get on social media and spread that word, you know, I'm going to do it. So I appreciate, you know, the avenue that you guys are creating here and the opportunity.
Yeah, we're thrilled to have you on. I mean, I think that in the last couple weeks in particular, as this streak has kind of, you know, grown and grown, the excitement, and frankly, our listeners are mostly avid followers of the men's program, but the struggles of the men's program kind of combined with your successes have really put a spotlight in the kind of UMass Twitter and social media world on your team. So we really wanted to kind of give you the perch. I guess before we jump in, I want to talk to you a little bit about the history of basketball at UMass, for women's basketball in particular, because with the exception of a nice little stretch run when I was a kid in the Pioneer Valley in the mid 90s with some really terrific players who came through there. And I used to go to games all the time as a kid. It's been a really tough go of it. And it's never, I guess, intuitively made sense to me because, you know, that, for instance, UMass has never won an Atlantic 10 tournament. This is a, you know, you're in an area of the country that's sort of
very seen as very progressive on women's issues, and I guess I'm just wondering, like, why do you think women's basketball never, you know, until really right now, with the exception of a little bit in the 90s, kind of got it going at UMass? Like, I don't know the history of that, and I'd just be curious to know. And then I want to hear about why you decided to take the job, given the challenges there historically.
Yeah, I think, you know, the first part is I don't think the talent in New England was anywhere, you know, near as where it is right now. I think that, you know, AAU basketball has taken off, especially in the New England area. You know, there are players, you know, in the New England area that are good enough to, you know, play at this level. And, you know, I think in years past, I think a lot of the recruiting was done, you know, in other states where, you know, I've been primarily focused, you know, on New England, you know, New York, New Jersey, and a little bit north of here, you know, as far as Canada goes. But there is plenty of talent. I mean, we could get in a car and go north and south, you know, and a little bit of west, you know, and really, you know, I think there's fertile ground. You know, there's enough players right in that area in the footprint of the A-10 where, you know, we can, you know, bring in some really high quality players. But I will say this. I mean, you got to look at the resources at the University of Massachusetts too. They've changed, you know, over, you know, the years. You know, even in the last, you know, 20 years, I mean, you go from playing, in the cage to the Mullen Center, and you look at, you know, just all the upgrades that have been, you know, taking place there. And then, obviously, the Champions Center. You know, we have one of the best facilities in the country. And so now we have a balance of, you know, academics, facilities, and we do have an unbelievable administration where, you know, my vision and their vision, they align, and we want to win and win big. And, you know, that's what really drew me to this job, is that, you know, I needed to go somewhere where they're going to put resources towards a program and want to do something, you know, special, you know. And I talked about winning championships, and I talked about what it was going to take, you know, and they were all on board, you know. And so you look at this, you know, and my thing was, why not UMass? And you know, I'll be honest with you, you know, a lot of people, you know, thought I was absolutely crazy for leaving Eastern Michigan, you know, and they're like, you're leaving one mid-major for another. And I didn't see it that way. I just looked at it as another opportunity with resources that can truly catapult this program into the top 25. And I still believe that, because we do have those resources, you know, and I knew that, you know, eventually we would be able to recruit to the University of Massachusetts, you know. And was it easy in the beginning? Absolutely not, because there was no tradition and there was no history, and we were bringing the talent to the campus, but it simply wasn't enough, you know. And so we would explain our vision. We would talk to these kids and tell them exactly where we are, where we're headed, how we're going to get there, but it just wasn't enough. We needed to win a little bit. And I think we started after year one. I mean, you look at, you know, the kids that we had in the program. I mean, we barely had enough. We had 6 scholarships kids. You know, we were starting a soccer player, and we won 9 games. I guess you could say, you know, we overachieved, but it was like little steps like that that helped us to where we are today, you know. And so now it's like we're able to not only get, you know, these quality players to campus, but they're also committing. And so now I feel like we have the nucleus and we have the players that can compete at this level and win championships. And I will give a lot of credit to my staff. I believe that I'm so fortunate to have an unbelievable staff, you know, that has done unbelievable things. And, you know, we do all this together. I will tell you that right now. This is by no means this is all me, because it's not. It's our players who believe in our mission, and it's my staff that comes to work each and every single day. And they put in the hours and hours preparing our players, and it's the love and respect that we have for one another. And when you're able to put all that together, you know, there's a formula, you know, to that success, and I feel like we have that right now.
So taking it back just a second to get into sort of your career trajectory. I think probably people know you came from Eastern Michigan, and I know you were an assistant at some high majors in the kind of Big Ten, Big 12, you know, yep. Kansas, Nebraska world, and that you also spent some time in the WNBA as an assistant, I believe, in Connecticut, right? But I just want to understand. You went to Keene State, and so you're a New England guy from Connecticut. How did you gravitate toward the women's game initially when you were like 22, 23? Like, to walk me through, you know, did you play at Keene State and then you were looking to get in the basketball world? I'm just always.
Yeah, absolutely. So I injured my back my senior year, and so I redshirted, and I thought I'd come back from it, and I couldn't. And so the next thing, obviously, you know, if I'm not playing, is coaching. So I knew right away, you know, that was the avenue that I wanted to take. And so, you know, I started, you know, dabbling around and trying to get involved on the men's side because I knew I wanted to coach. I was, you know, an assistant, like a volunteer assistant at the University of Hartford. And, you know, it was just trying to break ground, trying to do whatever I could to really get in. And then eventually became a head varsity basketball coach at Pomperock High School in South Ferry, Connecticut. And I did that for 3 years. After, you know, that time, I ended up taking an assistant job with Western Connecticut State University and really helped them catapult that program to a couple of Sweet 16s.
That was on the women's side. That was on the women's side, correct?
That was on the men's side.
Okay.
On the men's side. And really successful there in winning Little East championships. And then my last year there, the Orlando Miracle, which is the WNBA team, moved to Connecticut, and that's where they became the Connecticut Sun. And Mike Tebow was given that job, and so, you know, for one day I was just, you know, thinking about, you know, the WNBA, thinking about that, and I'd be like, that'd be a really cool opportunity. And so you know, one thing led to another, and you know, we had mutual friends in the business. I'm really close with the Thibodeau family, and I don't know if you know Tom Thibodeau, who was the head coach of Chicago Bulls and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And
yeah, Salem also, State guy, right?
Yeah, Salem State guy, and he was actually the defensive coordinator with the Celtics when they won their championship. But anyways, you know, him and Mike Thibodeau worked together in the NBA, and so, you know, one thing led to another, and Mike was like, come up to a practice. And so I went up to a practice, and next thing I know, you know, I'm there helping out and on his staff. And so in my 3 years, you know, it was just like, that's where, you know, I truly started honing in my skills. Just, you know, I was like a sponge. I was soaking it all in. I mean, Mike is probably forgotten more than I know right now, to be honest with you. It was just like absorbing all the nooks and crannies of both sides of the ball, learning the game, learning his perspective on things. And so it wasn't that, like, I wanted to go, you know, coach women. It was just, to me, it was just the opportunity. And it's coaching the game. It wasn't like, oh, I just want to coach guys or coach women. It was just about, once you got into the game, it was just about winning the game for me. So, and it just happened naturally. And, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, did you think you're going to miss, you know, the athleticism, you know, the guy side, you know, the dunks, you know, the speed, you know, and the answer to it all is no. You know, it, to me, it's just, it's the thrill and it's, you know, the competitive spirit that I have when it comes to winning. And so to me, it's just, it doesn't matter what I'm coaching guys, what I'm coaching, you know, women, whether I'm playing tennis or one-on-one, you know, it's my competitive nature, and I love competing.
And Mike Thibodeau, for those who don't know, he's kind of like, he's one of the premier women's coaches. I think he's with the Mystics now, just won a championship, and was with the Connecticut Sun for like a decade. So it must have been, you know, having him as a mentor must have really, I imagine, informed your philosophy to this day. Is that true? And also, have you relied on him at all in terms of, or at least the connections to his, you know, world in terms of identifying talent for UMass when you're recruiting?
No, absolutely. He's a mentor. He's always been there for me. You know, he's one of my best friends. We often bounce ideas off one another. You know, when I'm searching for things on both sides of the ball or culture or trying to figure out my team and, you know, I got things going on, we often talk about it, you know, and he's always giving me advice and ideas. And so I'm very fortunate to have someone like that, you know, who's been through it. And you look at his career, you know, he's been successful at every single stop. And so, you know, for me to, like, not pick his brain and not ask him, you know, I'd be foolish. You know, I'm the first to, you know, communicate that. You know, I do not know it all. I do not know it all. And so, you know, I feel like once you stop asking, you know, and then you stop learning. And so I want to know, you know, there's so many ways of doing things. And if there's another way of doing it and it's better and it's going to make my team better, you know, I'm all for diving in and listening to someone. So he's been a great resource, a great friend. He's one of the best basketball minds in the business. You look at his career and what he's done, and he's taken over every single program, whether the Connecticut Sun or the Mystics. You know, he changed that, you know, completely, you know, and took it from ground zero. And then, you know, this past year won a championship. So, you know, what, I mean, for me, you know, I feel like, you know, I was very, very fortunate to have someone like that and to learn from.
So, great answer. I'm curious a little bit about the women's game in general. I'm going to confess my ignorance to some degree outright, but my perception of it, rightly or wrongly, is that, you know, it's been very dominated by a handful of programs. To some degree, that's true in the men's game as well, but, you know, between, you know, Baylor, Notre Dame, UConn, obviously before that it was Tennessee and you know, South Carolina, but it strikes me as, and you see the margins at times, and I think it's getting better, but the margins of victory are, you know, I mean, you've seen some
pretty substantial.
Yeah, pretty substantial. And so with so many of the top tier players going to only a handful of schools, and if I'm wrong on that, please correct me, but if in fact I'm right on that, I'm curious how it impacts your recruiting and kind of what the recruiting landscape looks like in general for places that aren't one of those five or six schools. I think in the men's game, you know, you'll see 75 or 80 type, you know, schools that will at least be in the running for four or five star kids. Obviously you're going to have your Dukes and your Kentuckys, but in the women's game, it feels like those schools are just loaded every year. And I'm curious how that dynamic plays out in your recruiting at UMass.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you hit the nail right on the head when you talked about, you know, those programs, why they've been significant over the last 20 years. And they're able to, you know, go out and recruit, you know, top players in the country. And so, and I'm going to agree with you. I think that there's, you know, maybe a dozen, maybe a top 12, you know, I think there's, you know, probably five that are always, you know, in that mix to have the opportunity to win national championships. And then there's, you know, after that 12, there's kind of like that next tier. And then there's everybody else, you know? And so I think, you know, that's because, you know, there's probably, you know, one, there's not enough, you know, players out there that are, you know, those difference makers, you know, you just don't have them, you know, and where I think, you know, on the men's side, you know, I think the skill sets and the size and the athleticism, you know, I think, you know, it's a lot closer, you know, where I think, you know, on the women's side, you know, I definitely think that, you know, it's not as significant, you know. So as far as, you know, our recruiting at UMass and, you know, the rest of the country, you know, I'm not recruiting against UConn and I'm not recruiting against Mississippi State. You know, I'm just not, you know, I mean, if I was, then we're probably, you know, we're not going to win. You know, I need to, you know, when it comes to, you know, recruiting, you know, I need to identify players that can play at our levels. I'm going to look for, you know, the same type of player, you know, that UConn's looking at, but they're probably, you know, 4 to 6 inches shorter, you know, or, you know, they're not as athletic, you know, but can just shoot it just the same, but they're just there's some degree that, you know, is, you know, whether it's athleticism, whether it's a skill set, whatever it is, it's not to that degree, you know, and I would be foolish, you know, if I was ever recruiting the same players as them, you know, not right now anyways, not where we are right now. You know, we're competing with the rest of, you know, the teams, the A-10. You know, we're battling on kids, you know, and you know, we're identifying the ones that could play at this level. I think we've been fortunate, you know, in the last year to where, you know, we have kept into, you know, some players that, you know, were in a transfer portal, like Sam Breen, who was, you know, Gatorade Player of the Year, you know. I mean, the number one player in Pennsylvania. And there is a lot of talent in Pennsylvania. You know, she scored close to 2,700 points in high school. You know, so you look at, you know, Sam Breen, and, you know, to me, you know, she's that difference maker for us. And I think that, you know, she's been, not a surprise to me, because I knew what she was capable of doing, you know, but never had the opportunity to do it at Penn State, where now she transfers and she's given, you know, she understands that we have a ton of confidence in her. And then she's to just blossom as a player. And she feels really good about her situation and feel really comfortable. And so now I think you're seeing, you know, her best basketball. You know, and then you look, you know, at, you know, Desiree Oliver, went to Temple. This was a kid that we tried to recruit my first year at UMass, and she didn't give us the time of day. We didn't even pick up the phone, you know, and now we're able to get her, you know, on the rebound, you know, transferring, you know, to UMass because of the success that, you know, we have. And again, you know, you look at, you know, the trajectory, like, each year that I've been here, you know, we've continued, you know, to move, you know, the needle. And so I think, you know, when, you know, student athletes are transferring, they want to find a really good culture, and they want to find a program that's on the rise. And, you know, I think that's us. And so, you know, I feel that, you know, fortunate enough that we have really good players in our program. We have good people in our program. And those guys are our best recruiters. And once we're able to get them on campus, you know, they're able to sell the program and what we're doing.
So segueing to this season in particular, and I, again, acknowledge that my perceptions of the program are very much superficial ones, particularly before, let's say, last week when I started sort of saying, oh, this team is pretty good. When I saw, I'll be very candid and I'll eat crow here, when I saw you guys open the year with a loss to Merrimack, you know, I kind of raised my eyebrows, and I might have even snarkily tweeted something like, oh, this is year four for Torrey. Like, maybe it's time to get over the hump here. Like, what's going on? That was like maybe a hot seat. You know, I think the folks who don't follow this stuff closely were like, that could put them on the hot seat. Then you rattle off basically 14 of next 16, and we're all saying, oh, this is the guy. I mean, which is just the nature of the business as fans, you know. But I guess, was that a moment where you guys had a real kind of come-to-Jesus moment, for lack of a better term, and kind of say, you know, like, we're better than this? Or is it just that fans who don't follow the women's game closely don't necessarily know that Merrimack's actually really good? I mean,
yeah, I think it's twofold. I think, one, people don't know, they don't know, you know, that Merrimack's really good. But if you look at, they were picked to finish last in their conference, and they're up, you know, up at the top. Okay, so that's number one. They're a season, you know, even though they were a Division II team, they won over 22 games the year before, and they had everyone coming back. And so going into the game, I wasn't like, oh, this is, right. You know, we're going to win by 40. I knew it was going to be a battle. Now, we also didn't have our entire team playing that night, you know, and I'm not using that as an excuse, because I wouldn't use that as an excuse. Look, at the end of the game, Merrimack beat us, period. And we weren't as good as they were, you know, but I also knew how, you know, I knew my team. I mean, we went to Portugal that summer, you know, we practiced. I knew what we could be, and I knew that we were not who we were going to. We were not the team that we needed to be that night. And I think that, you know, the freshmen that played that night, I think being in their first game, I think there were a lot of nerves as well, you know. But it was, again, we didn't deserve to win, you know. And that's the thing. That's something that I told my team, each and every single, you know, day in each and every single game. Like, any team can beat you on any given night if you're not prepared mentally. You know, it's just like they don't, you know, you don't walk in the gym and say, all right, here you go, here's the W. You got to earn it, you know, and we preach that. We got to win the day each and every single day. And if you win the day, if you win practice, you know, all those wins in practice will accumulate, and that's how you win games. You've got to be consistent, and great teams are consistent in how they go about their business, you know. And so I saw that team. I knew, you know, we would eventually get there, you know. It was just a matter of time. And so, you know, to me, you know, this is no surprise. You know, I feel that, you know, overall we've outworked our opponents, and, you know, and I do think that, you know, we have some players, you know, that are simply, you know, just better than you know, our opponents. And when we put it all together, you know, it's working for us. But I think that, you know, defensively we've gotten better over the, you know, 4 years that I've been here. And so we've improved there. We've improved, you know, as far as putting, you know, players in position to where they could be successful and score the ball. You know, so I think that we improved on both sides of the ball. And, you know, to me, you know, I'm just like, you know, this is, you know, who we are, and we deserve to be here now. This is everything that we planned for. This is everything that we worked for. But it didn't just happen overnight. It wasn't like, you know, you sprinkle, you know, pixie dust, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, you're winning, you know, 14 out of your last 15 games. You know, there is a process, you know, and then the process started with, you know, having the right culture. You got to have good culture. If you do not have good culture, you're not going to win, and you don't sustain winning. And I think that, you know, with the coaches that we have in place and the type of players that we brought into our program and, you know, just, you know, how close we are as a team, you know, when you have that level of respect and love for one another, like, everyone is going to battle each and every single night. Like, you know, they're like, you know, you're going to be put in, you know, positions to where you may face adversity. Like, you may be exhausted, and you're like, I can't run back. But they've been conditioned to not only run back, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there may be a wall there, and I've conditioned them, and our coaches have conditioned them to where they're sprinting back and run through the ball and through the wall still, if that kind of makes sense. Like, there's no quit, and there can't be any quit, you know. And so I just think that, you know, this has been a process, and, you know, it takes time. And, you know, but I'll tell you what, there's no better time than right now.
So after that game, though, you weren't especially concerned. You were like, look, we didn't play our best. We got to trust the process, move forward, and you did, and now you're where you are.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, because it's funny because I'm getting phone calls. Everyone's asking if I was okay and all right. I was like, yeah, we got beat by a better team that night. There's no question about it. And when I see their coach during the summer recruiting, that's the conversation. She did a great job. They kicked our butt. And it was just one game, and you know, we need to move on and get better, you know. And so, you know, you look at why we lost, you know, and you break down the game film, and then you learn from it, and then you get better. And if you're constantly worrying about what took place, then you're not going to grow. And the thing is, like, as a coach, you can't pick out 20 things. It's got to be 2 to 3 things. Where do you want to get better at? And here are the 2 things that are going to make us better. You know, today, this is what we need to focus on. Yeah, there's probably like 20 things that we didn't do right. There's no question about that. But at the end of the day, you know, they beat us in every aspect, and that's why we lost the game. And so it was addressed. We talked about it, and boom, you move on. And that's exactly what we did.
So moving toward A-10 play now, you guys are 4-0 in the league. You have a big one at Rhodey tomorrow. We're recording this on Saturday night, January 18th, and I was looking through the schedule, and, you know, you got to understand, I'm coming at this as a UMass fan who's seen a lot of, you know, disappointment in many sports over the years, and I see you're 14-3, so everybody's, you know, everybody's paying attention now, but I also see that you guys have the top teams in your league now really coming ahead. You had a teams that have struggled a little bit out of the gate, and now you have a bunch of, you know, really tough ones forthcoming. What is it like to play now with a little bit more I mean, to play as a successful team versus kind of an upstart team, do you have any concerns that it's going to change the dynamics? And do you think that the increased improved competition you're about to face is going to, are you concerned about how that will impact the women moving forward?
Oh, like, that's the whole thing. Like, I'm not worried about, like, all these wins, keeping the streak going and this, that, and the other. I'm just trying to win the next day. But that's who we've been all year long. I'm trying to get better in practice each and every single day, you know, and that's where our focus is. I'm not getting all caught up in, like, oh, we got to win these next games. And, you know, I get that there's been a lot of disappointment, you know, at the University of Massachusetts, you know, with all the sports team. All I can tell you is that what we're trying to do is we're trying to put a product out on the floor that everyone can be proud of. I'm trying to put a product out on the floor where our team goes out there and works extremely hard. And the reason why that, you know, I'm on this podcast right now is because I want to make sure that people come out and watch us, because I think and I believe that, you know, our kids deserve it, you know, because they work so hard. But we're not getting caught up into, you know, trying to win, you know, the next 10. And, you know, we got, you know, the best teams in the A-10 coming up. And is that going to be any different? Is it going to be different? There's no question about it. You know, do you think we have a bullseye on our back? Absolutely. There's no question about it. You know, we're going to get everyone's best every single night. You know, but regardless, it doesn't matter. I'm not worried about our opponent. I'm more concerned about us than our opponent. We'll prepare for our opponents, but I'm so concerned with where we are as a program, what we're doing here today as a team. And that's what our focus is. And so, and it's been good enough to put us in a position to win basketball games. And so, you know, if our winning streak continues, great. You know, if we lose tomorrow, we'll fine. You know, I mean, I'm not like, oh, I feel great about losing tomorrow. But, like, if Rhode Island was to beat us tomorrow, then, you know, then we'll look at what occurred and we'll you know, break it down and we'll learn from it. And then we'll get better, you know. And all I expect from our players is their best each and every single night. And so if they give me their best every single night and we don't get the outcome that we wanted, okay, I mean, how can I be disappointed? You know, I mean, there are going to be nights where, you know, it's not going to be our best basketball. Like, you know, I told our team this when we played against LaSalle. Everybody just thought, oh, LaSalle thinks, right, that they've lost, what, 9 in a row, and that we're just going to, you know, roll into Mullins and we're going to beat them by, you know, 30, and it's not going to be a game. That's not true. It's going to be a battle every single night for us, no matter who we play. It's not like LaSalle's coming in and, like, here you go. Here's the W. They're going to come in. They're going to prepare for us like they did, all right, and they're going to try to take us out of what we want to do, you know, offensively and stop us, you know, and scout us. I mean, there are good, really good coaches in our league, and they're not going to be like, oh, UMass is really good, and so we're not going to prepare. No, every single game is going to be tough, and we expect that, and we're going to get everybody's best, and so be it, you know. But what we're going to do is we're going to continue to work hard. And I truly believe that when you put forth that type of effort, it's going to put you in a position to be successful, and we'll get there.
So first I want to say I vow, and already have been, to do more, but I will vow personally to tell anyone who listens to this program or follows me on Twitter to absolutely make a commitment to get to a game this year, to be loud, to give you guys more of a home court advantage. And, you know, support – every relative's a winner, and you guys are winning. You deserve support, so I want to just say that. I'm gonna do my piece, what little it may be, but I definitely want people to get involved. If there is another doubleheader on the weekend, it's tough for me because I'm in New York, but I would like to get up there. If you play at Fordham, I'd like to get there. So I'll address those things in a moment. But going back to something you said about, you know, day by day, of course, I get that, and coaches always say that, and they should, and I like the philosophy. But I am curious, at the beginning of the season, you know, you presumably set goals, and so I'm kind of wondering, this is a successful season if, and then you fill in the blank, but really it's this successful season if we win blank games, because I know there's a tendency to say, you know, if we get better every day and all that. And I get it.
But I think, you know, the fans are wondering, like, was there a 20-win goal? Was there a, you know, conference, getting to the conference semifinals or final goal? Like, what's the kind of
our goal as a conference for our conference play is to host a home game, a playoff game. So that's our goal, to host the first round at the University of Massachusetts, where last year we ended up going to George Mason and winning in the first round prior to going to the tournament. So we want to get and we want to have a first-round game at the University of Massachusetts before heading to Dayton to finish the tournament there, the A-10 tournament. That's our goal. And if that's realistic, then that means that we're finishing in the top six, top eight.
So do you think that the hot start has given you hope that maybe you could go beyond just the home game, or are you not focused on anything more than that at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not looking long-term. I'm looking at each and every single day and at each and every single game that's in front of us.
Perfect. If people do come out to a game, tell us a little bit about your for people who are going to come out, tell us a tiny bit about your style of play and kind of, I know you talked about pushing pace and you know, going all out for 40 minutes, but if you had to define, you know, your style of play, like what it may be similar to or kind of how you run your offense and defense, just like your coaching philosophy.
Yeah, I think I'll just give you a couple adjectives. I think we're fun, fast, and furious. You know, I've been saying that all along, and, you know, we're going to get up, and, you know, whether we're in press or man defense, we're going to try to get deflections and we're going to get steals, and then we're going to let our defense, you know, create our offense where we're going to push and we're going to attack. And so my philosophy is to attack on both sides of the ball, whether it's offensively, change of possession, we are flying down the floor and we're trying to, you know, go attack the rim, you know, or defensively flying, you know, two and three people at you, trying to trap you, shooting gaps and creating some havoc. So I think it's fun. I think it's entertaining. I think we have some unbelievable personalities, you know, on our team that I think, you know, some people would, you know, would love to see. I think we have some dynamic scorers. I mean, look at Haley Lydell. I think it's pretty much by the time that she finished with her career, she's probably going to lead, you know, the program, you know, in most points. She's probably going to be one of the best players to have ever played here. So not coming out and seeing her, I think coming out and seeing her, that would mean a lot. And I think that she deserves that. But, like, also seeing, like, you know, sophomore sensation, you know, Destiny Philosophy. I mean, talk about an ultra-athletic guard who can fly up and down the floor and create a lot of fun to watch. And then, you know, Sam Breen, she's probably one of the best forwards, you know, in the A-10. I mean, talk about somebody who could score at all three levels. And so, you know, just the combination of, you know, veterans and newcomers. I think it gives fans, you know, just a nice appetizer, if you will, of who we are. And I think that, you know, once they come out and watch us, they'll want to come back and just watch some good, solid basketball, a team that values the ball, take care of the ball, you know, execute offensively, and then defensively gets after it. But you talk about, you will see a team that works extremely hard. You will see a team that is going to dive on loose balls and gobble those up and help one another up and have a lot of fun playing. That's what you're going to see.
That's great. And if I had one other question, and you feel free to wrap if you have to, but the one other question would be, how do you think your play, you know, we've watched you a little bit on social media, and I think a lot of people got a real kick out of some of those videos this summer where you were basically dunking on 9-year-olds at your camp. I thought that was hysterical. I was a huge fan. It made me more interested in the program in general. So, but I am curious, how would your players characterize you both as a coach and a person, just to give people kind of an idea of who, you know, Torrey Verde is?
Yeah. I think there's probably, you know, a lot of, you know, words that they would use to describe me. You know, I think Papa Bear would be the first thing. They know that I love them. I take care of them. I make sure that, you know, they have everything that they need in order to be successful here. Always there for them. So, you know, they know I'm very sincere, a family guy. And, you know, when I say that, you know, I'm going to take care of you when you come to University of Massachusetts, I know that they know deep down inside that I mean that. You know, I think that, you know, other words to describe me is probably intense, competitive. You know, once I step on the court, you know, those competitive juices, you know, come out, and but they also feed off of it, you know, and I think, you know, it's contagious. You know, but I wear many hats, and I know that they know that I love them, respect them, and take care of them. And that's how I want to be remembered. You know, I don't want to be remembered 30 years from now as just a basketball coach. You know, I want to be remembered as, you know, someone who, you know, was a father figure for them, who took care of them away from home. That's what I want to be remembered as, somebody who helped them, because it's not easy, you know, leaving home and trying, you know, to be successful academically and athletically, and you need to be surrounded by good people. And I think that we've done that here at the University of Massachusetts.
Awesome stuff. If there's anything else, we always tell our guests if they want to promote anything. I mean, we know what you're promoting. We're promoting it too. But if there's anything else you want to, you know, go out saying or let our, you know, listeners know, now's the time to do it. Otherwise, we wish you the best of luck tomorrow. Obviously, we really would like a W over Rhodey, because it is Rhodey. And no pressure, but pressure.
Yeah. So. Well, I appreciate that. You know, and like you said, you know, whenever I could use this platform to really tell our story, you know, I'm just at a place where, you know, I think we have magnificent, talented people in our administration who truly want the best, you know, for student athletes and take care of them tremendously. And so, you know, with that, you know, I'm just, you know, really proud to be the head women's basketball coach at the University of Massachusetts. And I can tell the listeners that we are doing everything possible to really catapult this program and do something that's never been done before. But I will say this, we can't do it alone. We need everyone's help. You know, I can't do this alone. So if, you know, if it come out, to, and I encourage you, come out to a game, but don't come by yourself. Grab a family member, grab a neighbor, like grab two or three other people with you. And I promise you that you're going to see a team, you know, that is going to work extremely hard, and a team that you're going to be really proud of. So come out and continue to support us.
All right. Thanks so much, Coach. Good luck.
All right. Thank you, guys.